I'm just going to say this real quick. Debbie is getting out of the hospital today, so we're going to pick her up after church. She's all excited. But what Rebecca's handing out is, if you were here last Sunday, we were talking about our finances. And I'm the one that messed up the paperwork, but we got it figured out. So she wanted me to hand that back out to let you know that it's kind of scribbled out what was on those first, the two that we don't do. It was like mortgage and stuff or something that didn't need to have what the total was. So now, you know, the 2,121 was out of Square payments last year. And the 4,855 was something income. Pardon her handwriting. It's hard to see. I think it was it's uncategorized, maybe income, something like that. You're a girl close, Eric. It's a little hard. Just so that you have that to know that, you know, we didn't have those other. Yeah, one was the assets for 2,121. We don't have any assets. I messed this up the way I did it. But this is our year end from last year, and it is all now corrected. And we did correct it with World Ministry Fellowship. So is there any quick questions on those? She just wanted to make sure that you got the actual copy of it being corrected. Alrighty, well, she'll be here next Sunday. So if you have any questions, give us a call. Yep. Anything like that, just let us know. We're open. The books are open. We just don't show you who gives. So any questions, just let us know.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Another great day in the neighborhood. Wow, God is awesome. He's moving and shaking and doing some tremendous things, so we just give God the glory and all that is happening. It's good to see everybody again today. It just kind of wait until everybody gets settled down here. Today's going to be a different day. I really don't know what God wants to do. Normally when I get a blank, I know it's not me, it's God. And that's what we want to do, is just whatever he wants to do on that area and keep things going. But as soon as everybody gets in here, we're going to play a song. Sean, we're going to play a song, and then we're just going to sit back and just listen to the Lord, because there's another video that popped on my screen, and I wasn't playing. I would never have watched it, period. There's nothing that I even want. But I just felt my spirit and need to watch it. So I watch it, because there is a warning that comes from that. And so I know one thing is, it's a little different, but it's something that I just felt the Lord wanted to put out, because he put the warning out. And it's kind of a different way of getting the warning to people, but it happens. And you'll see as we go through that. And just before we go in there and get things going here, we'll take off here pretty quick. But God is moving, shaking. Things are changing. And we just need to be prepared and ready. So I guess if you want to take, we're just going to go into the song. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, and we just thank you for what you're doing. We give you full glory, honor, and praise. Father, this morning, as I was sitting there, I just said, I need to do something. And so I turned on my phone and ended up having some music, and I ran across this song. And I knew in my spirit we needed to play this the very first thing. So I pray that your anointing will be here, that your presence will come through the song as well, I know. And we just praise your holy name for all that you want to do. I pray that you speak to each person independently and what's happening. And we just give you full glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. You are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Lord, because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you.
worship you. Now, what I had was this video that just popped up on my screen. Everybody can sit down. It was just, it popped up, and I wouldn't normally watch it. But it said a warning from God. So I started to watch it, and the more I watch it, I'm saying, wow. I want to say one thing. In this season, you can see physically a lot of things. And I took and I had my some leaders come over one time, or leaders in the house, and I ran across a prophecy. This prophecy to me was just blowing me away. Because I wasn't looking at it from the physical, but from the spiritual. So when you start to see it from the spiritual, one of the things that was said about the prophecy was, oh, it's all about this, and it's all about that, and it's all about that. I says, you missed the whole point. God was behind that. There was an actual learning process that we have to do in this season. You're going to see a lot of things happen. You can look at it from the spiritual, or you can look at it from the spiritual. So as you're going through this, I want you to look at the spiritual. It's not, you know, I was thinking, where can I cut this thing up and make it a little bit different, just hit the high points. And the last time I sat down, the Lord just said, let it flow all the way through, because there is a message in here. There's an understanding. You're going to see, if you're looking at it from the physical, you'll get bored and say, oh, yeah, I know that, I know that, I know that, I know that. But if you look at it from the spiritual and what God's trying to say and understand what's happening, it'll be a much different situation. So if you want to go ahead and just play that, Sarah.
Stop scrolling. What I'm about to tell you will change how you see 2026. My name is Margaret Ruth Henderson. I'm 80 years old, and I not nearly died. I was clinically dead for 19 minutes while my daughter screamed for help and paramedics worked to bring me back. And in those 19 minutes, I stood face to face with Jesus Christ. And he showed me Donald Trump. I know what you're thinking. Another crazy story about politics and prophecy. But this isn't about taking sides. This isn't about Republican or Democrat. What Jesus revealed to me about Trump, about 2026, about what's coming to America, it has nothing to do with what the media is saying. It's bigger than politics. It's about every single person watching this right now. And if you think you know what's coming, you don't. Before I tell you what I saw, before I reveal what Jesus said about the year 2026 and the man everyone can't stop talking about, you need to hear how a church-going Texas woman who thought she knew God discovered she didn't know him at all. Because what happened to me wasn't just about seeing the future. It was about waking up from a lifetime of spiritual sleep. And Jesus told me, Margaret, millions are asleep just like you were, and time is running out. I've lived my entire life in Houston, Texas, born in 1946, raised in the same house my grandfather built, married at 19 to my high school sweetheart, Thomas. We spent 56 years together before a stroke took him, 7 years ago, gone in an instant while watching the evening news. 3 children, 8 grandchildren, a lifetime of church attendance, Bible studies, potluck dinners, and Sunday services. I was the definition of a faithful Christian woman. But here's the truth I didn't realize until I died. I knew about God, but I didn't know God. I prayed, but I didn't really talk to him. I read the Bible, but I didn't let it change me. I went to church, but I was just filling time until I could see Thomas again. Faith had become a routine. Heaven had become a vague destination. And God had become distant, like a friend I used to know, but hadn't spoken to in years. The 7 years after Thomas died were the loneliest of my life. My children visited when they could, but they have their own families, their own busy lives. I fill my days with gardening, game shows, volunteering at the food bank, playing bingo on Thursdays. I existed, but I wasn't living Every night I'd sit in Thomas's old recliner and wonder, is this it? Is this all there is until I die? I had no idea God was about to answer that question in the most terrifying and beautiful way possible. It was a Sunday, December 1st, 2025. I woke up that morning feeling strange, not sick, but unsettled, like the air itself was holding its breath. I shook it off. At 80 years old, you learn to ignore most aches and weird feelings. Church was normal. Pastor Jim preached about patience and trust. I barely listened. My mind was elsewhere, thinking about Thomas, about how much I missed him, about how tired I was of being alone. After church, I came home and heated up leftover pot roast, settled into my recliner to watch the Cowboys game. The house was too quiet, like it always is now. Around 4 p.m., everything changed. A weight pressed down on my chest, heavy, crushing. My left arm went numb. The remote control slipped from my fingers and hit the floor. No, I whispered, not yet, not like this. I tried to stand, but my legs buckled. I reached for my phone, but my hand wouldn't work. The room spun violently. The television voices twisted into meaningless noise. Pain exploded through my chest, white hot, unbearable pain that stole my breath and my voice. I couldn't scream. I couldn't call for help. I could only gasp and clutch at my chest as the world tilted sideways. My last thought before everything went black was, I'm dying alone, and I'm not ready. Then the pain stopped, instantly, completely, and that's when everything became impossible. One second, I was drowning in pain. The next second, I was standing, not sitting, not lying on the floor, standing, upright, strong, without my cane. What? My voice sounded wrong, too clear, too young. I looked down at my hands and my breath caught. These weren't my hands. They couldn't be. No wrinkles, no age spots, no twisted arthritic knuckles. These were the hands I had at 30, smooth, strong, capable. I touched my face. The sagging skin was gone. My cheeks felt full. I ran my fingers through my hair, thick and soft, not thin and brittle. Panic should have hit me, but instead, I felt wonder. I looked around and realized I wasn't in my living room anymore. I was somewhere else entirely, somewhere that didn't follow normal rules. I stood in a space of pure light, not bright enough to hurt my eyes, but brilliant enough to see everything with perfect clarity. There was no ceiling, no walls, no floor I could identify, yet I stood on something solid. The air itself seemed alive, shimmering with colors that don't exist in the natural world. Blues that hummed, golds that breathed, silvers that whispered, and the silence, it wasn't empty, it was full. Like the whole universe was holding its breath, waiting for something. Am I? I couldn't finish the sentence. Dead? A voice answered, and the sound made my soul tremble. It came from everywhere. It resonated not just in my ears, but in my chest, in my spirit, in every particle of my being. The voice was gentle yet carried the weight of eternity, kind but absolute. Not exactly, Margaret. I turned slowly, and there he was. I knew him before I saw his face. The way you know sunrise is coming before you see the light. The way you know home before you reach the door. Jesus, he stood before me, and every painting, every movie, every description I'd ever heard was completely inadequate. He wasn't just a figure, he was presence. Love made visible. Peace given form. Light radiated from him, but it wasn't harsh. It was warm, inviting, like being wrapped in the safest embrace you've ever known. His eyes, oh, his eyes. They looked into me, through me, and somehow loved everything they saw. Every secret I'd ever kept, every harsh word I'd spoken, every bitter thought, every moment of doubt, he saw it all. And instead of condemnation, there was only compassion. I fell to my knees, not because anyone commanded it, but because standing felt impossible in that presence. Lord, the word came out as a sob. Tears I didn't know I could cry streamed down my young face. Jesus, is it really you? He smiled, and that smile broke something inside me, broke it open so love could flood in. Yes, Margaret, it's me. His voice was like coming home after a lifetime of being lost. I'm sorry, I choked out. I'm so sorry. I wasted so much time. I went to church. I said the prayers, but I never really knew you. I never, Margaret. He said my name like it was sacred. Look at me. I lifted my eyes, expecting disappointment, expecting to see what a failure I'd been. Instead, he reached out his hand toward me. You're here now. That's what matters. When I took his hand, warmth flooded through me. Not physical warmth, something deeper. It felt like every good thing I'd ever experienced distilled into one moment. Like being forgiven, being seen, being loved, and being known all at once. He helped me to my feet, and we stood facing each other. Am I in heaven? I whispered. You're in between, he said gently. Your heart stopped. Your body is on the floor of your living room. Your daughter is on her way to check on you right now. The paramedics will arrive in 4 minutes. But you, the real you, is here with me. Why? The question tumbled out. Why am I here? His expression shifted. The gentleness remained, but something else entered his eyes. Urgency. Purpose. Because I need you to see something, Margaret. I need you to understand what's coming. And then he paused, his gaze holding mine with intensity that made me forget to breathe. You're going back. Back. Fear flickered through me. Back to that broken body. Back to that lonely house. Back to a world that needs to hear the truth. He placed his hand over my heart. What I'm about to show you isn't just for you. It's for everyone who will listen. People are confused, Margaret. Divided. Angry. Scared. They think they know what's coming in 2026, but they're looking at shadows when they should be seeing light. What's coming in 2026? I asked, my voice barely above a whisper. His eyes held mine. Not destruction. Awakening. But first, you need to understand the battle that's already raging. Come. He gestured, and suddenly the space around us shifted. The field of light expanded and transformed. Suddenly we were standing above the earth, not in the clouds, but in some higher dimension where reality became visible in layers. Below us, I could see the entire planet. Cities glittered like stars. Oceans breathed. Continents pulsed with life. From this height, it looked peaceful, beautiful. Tell me what you see, Jesus said. I see the world, I answered uncertainly. It looks quiet from up here. Look deeper. He touched my eyes gently, and suddenly I could see beyond the physical. A veil lifted, revealing another layer of reality that had always been there but invisible. What I saw made me gasp in horror. Shadows everywhere. Dark, writhing shadows, clinging to people like leeches. They moved through cities, through homes, through churches. Some were small, barely visible wisps. Others were massive, completely covering people, controlling them like puppets on strings. What are those things? My voice shook. Demons, Jesus said quietly, spiritual forces of darkness. They attach themselves to humanity through open doors, sin, rebellion, bitterness, fear, pride. Some people carry one or two, others. He pointed to a man walking down a street, completely shrouded in shadow. Others have given themselves over so completely they don't even recognize their own thoughts anymore. I watched in growing horror as these shadow creatures whispered into people's ears. The people couldn't see them, couldn't hear them, but they responded. A woman scrolling her phone suddenly felt crushing jealousy. A man in his car exploded in road rage over nothing. A teenager alone in their room spiraled into despair. They think those thoughts are their own, I whispered. Yes, Jesus said, deep sadness in his voice. The enemy's greatest trick was convincing the world he doesn't exist. While people laugh at the idea of demons, those demons are more active now than they've been in generations. The scene shifted. I saw churches, thousands of them, across America. My heart lifted. Surely in the churches, people were safe. Surely there, the shadows couldn't reach. But I was wrong. Many churches were filled with the same shadows. They sat in pews next to worshipers. They stood behind pastors in pulpits. They wove through worship teams and Sunday school classes. How, I choked on the word. How can they be in your house? Jesus's expression grew heavy with grief. Because many of these buildings are not my house, Margaret. They carry my name. They sing songs about me. They preach sermons that mention me, but I am not welcome there. He pointed to one large church where hundreds of people were gathered. The worship was loud. The lights were professional. The preacher was dynamic, but Jesus stood outside the building, looking in through the windows, sorrow etched on his face. They've replaced intimacy with entertainment, he said. They've traded holiness for relevance. They preach a gospel that costs nothing, requires nothing, changes nothing. They say, God loves you as you are, which is true, but they never finish the sentence. God loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He showed me another church, traditional and proper. People sat in pews with perfect posture, singing hymns they'd memorized decades ago. But their hearts were miles away. Some were mentally planning lunch. Others were nursing grudges against the person sitting next to them. They performed Christianity like actors in a play. Religion without relationship, Jesus said. This is what breaks my heart most. Not the atheists who honestly don't believe. Not the sinners who know they need me. But my people, those who think they know me but don't. Those who think Sunday attendance and moral behavior will save them. I saw myself in that scene. 50 years of church attendance. Decades of Bible reading. A lifetime of prayers that never got past the ceiling. Lord, I whispered, shame flooding me. That was me. He turned to me, and his eyes were full of compassion. I know, Margaret. That's exactly why you're here. You represent millions of people who think they're ready to meet me but aren't. People who've built their faith on routine instead of relationship, and I'm giving you a chance to go back and tell them the truth before it's too late. Too late for what, I asked, though part of me already knew the answer. His gaze grew intense. For what's coming next? The scene shifted again. This time, we zoomed in on America. The nation glowed brighter than all the others, but it also shimmered with two conflicting energies, one golden, one dark gray, battling for dominance. This nation, Jesus said, was founded with purpose, not to be perfect, but to be a light, to remind other nations that freedom comes from me, not from governments. But that purpose has been forgotten. The light has dimmed. I watched as the two energies, gold and gray, swirled through cities, through homes, through hearts. Wherever the gold touched, people softened. They forgave. They prayed. They helped each other. Wherever the gray touched, division grew. Anger intensified. Fear spread. In 2026, Jesus said, this battle will reach a tipping point. Then the vision narrowed. I saw a single figure standing in the center of the storm, a man I recognized immediately from television, from news headlines, from 1,000 arguments and debates. Donald Trump, he stood alone, surrounded by swirling energies, both golden and gray. Millions of voices screamed his name, half in support, half in fury. But from this height, from this perspective, both sides looked identical. The love and the hate were the same energy, just pointed in different directions. Jesus stood beside me, watching with me. What do you see? He asked. I see a man everyone fights about, I said carefully. A man who divides people. Look again. Look with spiritual eyes. I focused harder. And then I saw it. Trump wasn't creating the division. He was revealing it. Like a mirror held up to America's soul, he reflected back what was already there, the pride, the fear, the hunger for power, but also the hunger for truth, for change, for something real. He is a catalyst, Jesus said. Not a savior, not a villain, a catalyst. As I watched, I saw Trump holding something in his hands. It looked like a torch, but the flame kept in changing, sometimes burning bright gold, sometimes flickering gray. What does that mean? I asked. Jesus' voice grew solemn. It means he carries influence without fully understanding what he carries. He has been placed in this moment not because he is perfect, but because he is willing. The question is not whether he will lead. The question is, will he lead toward me or toward himself? In 2026, Jesus continued, events will unfold that will test every heart in this nation, not just Trump's heart, not just the hearts of leaders, every single heart. The vision expanded. I saw the year 2026 appear across the sky like burning letters. Beneath it, scenes began to play out rapidly. Massive gatherings of people in cities across America, not violent, but passionate. Some praying, some protesting, all searching for answers. A moment of great confusion where media, government, and even churches would give conflicting messages, leaving ordinary people feeling lost and betrayed. An unexpected event, I couldn't see it clearly, but it felt like an earthquake, not of ground, but of systems. Something that would shake institutions people thought were solid. And through it all, that golden thread I'd seen earlier, growing brighter, people waking up, not to politics, not to religion, but to relationship, real, raw, intimate relationship with God. What people don't understand, Jesus said, is that 2026 is not about Trump. He is simply one player on a board, much larger than he knows. 2026 is about humanity's choice. Choice, I echoed, between fear and faith, between division and unity, between trusting in human leaders or finally turning back to me. He showed me two possible timelines branching from 2026. In one, the gold energy overwhelmed the gray. People stopped fighting each other and started fighting for each other. Churches emptied of religious performance and filled with genuine presence. Trump, along with every other leader, either bowed to God's will or was moved aside. Peace didn't come from politics. It came from millions of individual hearts choosing love over hate. In the other timeline, the gray energy grew. Division intensified. Violence erupted. The nation tore itself apart from the inside. And Trump, like every other leader in that scenario, became irrelevant because chaos has no master. Which one will happen, I ask, my voice trembling. Jesus looked at me with eyes that held eternity. That depends on my people, the ones who claim my name. If they wake up, if they truly surrender, if they stop waiting for a political savior and start being the light I called them to be, then the first timeline unfolds. But if they keep sleeping, keep fighting, keep choosing sides over souls. He didn't finish the sentence. He didn't have to. He turned to face me fully, and the intensity in his gaze made everything else disappear. Margaret, this is why you're here. This is what I need you to tell them. I nodded, tears streaming down my face again. Tell them Donald Trump is not their enemy. He is not their savior. He is a man flawed, complicated, used by me for purposes even he doesn't fully understand. Pray for him. Don't worship him. Don't demonize him. Pray for him. He continued, his voice growing more urgent. Tell them 2026 will be a year of shaking. Everything that can be shaken will be. But this is not punishment. This is mercy. I am shaking loose everything built on sand so that what remains is only what's built on me. Tell them to stop trusting in political parties, media narratives, and charismatic leaders. Tell them to trust in me alone. Tell them that the greatest move of God in history is not coming through the White House. It's coming through ordinary people who finally decide to take me seriously. His hand rested on my shoulder, and I felt the weight of his words settling into my bones. Tell them the time for comfortable Christianity is over. The time for playing church is over. I am calling my true bride to rise, the ones who will love when it costs them, forgive when it hurts them, and shine when darkness tries to snuff them out. And Margaret, his voice softened. Tell them I love them. More than they can comprehend, I died for them. I'm preparing a place for them. But they must choose me. Really choose me. Not the version of me they've created in their minds, but the real me. The one who calls them to holiness, sacrifice, and radical love. Do you understand? He asked. Yes, Lord, I whispered. But I'm 80 years old. Who will listen? He smiled. I don't need the young and influential, Margaret. I need the willing and obedient. You'll reach exactly who you're meant to reach. Suddenly, I felt a pull, like a rope tied around my chest, tugging me backward. It's time, Jesus said. Your daughter just walked into your house. She's screaming your name. The paramedics are pulling into your driveway. Panic flooded me. Wait, I have so many questions. There's so much I don't understand. He placed both hands on my face and peace washed over me. You'll understand what you need to when you need to. For now, you have your mission. Go back, Margaret. Live differently. Love louder. And don't waste the time I'm giving you. The pulling grew stronger. The light around us began to fade.
I don't know if it ever happened to you, but my first marriage, I lost my child an hour and a half after he was born of a birth deficiency. And I cried and worked and had a hard time dealing with it. And I was supposed to stay strong for my wife, which they didn't tell her, which really caused a lot of problems in our marriages later on. She thought I hated the child and didn't want him. But the whole fact was I went through that whole process and there was a point that I hit where I had a true relationship with Jesus. And I guarantee you, when she said that everything was brighter, everything was smarter, I mean, it was just like you could... It totally changed my whole concept. I know I've given my life to Christ, but I guarantee you what, I had a full experience with God. If you haven't had that, you need to find it. It's this season, because this season, as I was praying about it and what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I understand, it's going to be like the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Except this is going to be the whole world coming out of Egypt. Because God's going to restore and bring back to the world what he desired it to be. And in that case, it's going to come in, and everything you learn and everything you've known and everything you've seen is going to be upside down and backwards in a lot of cases. But not according to God. It's according to what we're used to. So this is what this is all about. Prepare yourself, because what you think might be coming isn't coming. It very well, unless you've already been told by the Lord and understand what's happening. But the other thing is, we need to go out. And then she went on to talk about how she came back, and she said she decided to quit going out, and she, every time she went somewhere, she told about Jesus. She told about the experience. She always told, let people know what stuff had happened. So it was just something the Lord wanted me to put out. So we just praise you, Father. We worship you. We adore you. And we just give you glory for all things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, it'll come to pass. The saints will all emerge. Was a witch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end.
Praise you, Lord. We give you glory. We thank you, Father. Father, thank you for what's going to happen in 2026. Thank you for using whoever's willing. The willing vessels he'll use. Those who are not willing, he will not use. Even at 80 years old, this lady didn't think she had anything to go for. Nothing left. Just to get home to heaven and see her husband. But God had a better idea, a better plan. To use her time more wisely, to show her who he is, and to help her come to know the true relationship with Jesus Christ. Even today, sometimes we can get weary in doing the things that are going on, the situations that are happening. But only that relationship with Jesus will keep us going. As I taught her a while back, it was about going in as a priest. And a priest was to go before the Father and have a relationship with him and to learn and to touch and to pray and to seek for guidance and directions. And I thank you, Father, that you have done this. I thank you, Father, that you're going to continue to move in this way. But also know, with everything that's starting to be revealed, there's a lot of things that are being revealed, a lot of things that are going to come out that are going to confuse people's minds. Have no clue about what's happening, but it has happened. And it's going to be a strange time. But Father, you know all about it. You know exactly what we need, and you know what it takes to change things around. So we just need to trust in you in this season, 2026. Now the prophet has proclaimed it as a year of the fix, and you are coming in to fix and repair and bring back to this earth what is supposed to be designed by you, not by man or the evil that's here. So, Father, I just give you full glory, full honor, and praise, and I thank you for this time. And, Father, I just open this up to your people to say what the Lord is, what you are speaking to them.
Praise the Lord. In Luke 10, it says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven."
Mm-hmm.
And 10:1, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before the face into every city and place whither he himself would come." In Luke 10:21, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." So that's 70, and divide it by 2 by 2, that's about 35 fellowship groups. Praise the Lord.
Well, somewhere in the midst of worship, it's already been talked about in the video that we just saw. Yes, we need to wake up. Like, spiritually, we need to wake up and do what the Lord wants us to do for Him.
The stuff that was said in that video, I have been talking about this for ages, ages and ages. I feel this coming. I knew it was going to happen soon. Didn't think it happened this soon, but it's time for us to prepare. It's time for us to unite one another. This is not about politics. This is about light and dark, and it's time to start fighting back. That lady was crystal clear and 100% right about every single thing. And I just want to reiterate that.
No time like the present. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is just asking me to share a couple things that He said between last week and now. During last week's service, there came a point, I think we were more than halfway through, and I just looked up and said, Father, what are you going to do this year? And He always talks to me kind of like I'm a 2-year-old, because that's what it takes for me to get it. And He said simply, right the wrongs. This year, He is going to right the wrongs. So praise God, His justice is going to be meted out. There's going to be some things turned around that should have been. Hallelujah. On Friday night, we had a praise and worship service here, and I went after, and I stood by the front doors, and I was looking out the glass, and across the street, there were a couple of cars, and I felt the words, overflow parking. That across the street is going to be overflow parking for this place. Hallelujah. The other thing He spoke was that fountains of living water are being prepared. That also was Friday night there by those glass doors after the praise and worship service. Fountains of living water are being prepared. And then when I woke Saturday morning, the first thing He said was, the sanctuary has been cleansed. So we just praise Him. We thank Him for all that He is doing, because everything He is doing is for our good. Hallelujah.
A lot of things that we've studied in the world have come crashing down, and you know, Hollywood, government names, a lot of things. And the laws of the kingdom will stay the same all the way through. And we've worked in the past to try to change situations, but our hearts and our sight need to be changed, studying a kingdom that does not change.
Praise your holy name. Thank you for this time. Amen. I put it this way. I'm at a loss for words at the present time because the Lord hasn't given me anything to say. He said to play that video and have, you know, songs and works and then go from there. So does anybody here at this present time have anything that the Lord is saying?
It's okay. He basically said, watch me move. Watch and see what I will do for you. But yes. One of the most important things is that we have to be united in Christ as God is the head of this. Not us, human beings. God himself has to be the head, and we have to follow his lead.
Yes.
Don't go off in our own direction, God says. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, no. It's like narrow path. We got to follow that narrow path. I believe that talks about somewhere in Matthew. And don't go to the left. Don't go to the straight. Let God lead, and we must follow, and he will give us directions and instructions on what to do. That we have to do it what the Lord says for things to work out. If not, it's not going to work out well.
That's right.
Friday night when we were here, we played two songs. One was Waymaker and You're the One That Really Matters. And I don't know why those two songs hit me. Okay. But if you think about it, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Light in the Darkness.
What else?
Promise Keeper. Mm-hmm. You know, even when we don't see him, he's working. Yeah, we need to realize that during this time, that if we don't know the way, he does.
Yeah.
He's a miracle worker. He's a healer. He's all that. He is everything that we need.
Yes.
If we stay in line with him and follow him, he'll do all that for us. Even if we don't see him working, we know he's working. And then you're the only one that matters. Yeah, you just think about it, and you sit there and you say, you're the only one that matters. You're the only one that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Tell that to him. Let that become your life song. He is the only one that matters.
Amen.
Because if we're not following him, we're following ourselves.
Yep.
And those two songs, they just hit me, and I don't know why, but they just did. You know, chaotic love is what something that says in the song, and right now there is a lot of chaos. But if we have that chaotic love in us, it's all from him.
Mm-hmm. Did you have something there, David?
Praise the Lord. So the Lord wanted me to clarify the reason he had us do, I think it's been a couple years ago, that he had us start doing what he called food and fellowship. These little gatherings we were doing, he called it food and fellowship. And he said the reason that he brought us together to do that was so that he could help us get prepared for the people coming, so that we here could get to know each other and to be able to communicate with each other, to learn each other's talents and gifts, so that when he brings the people that he would be bringing from outside, that we would know how to relate to them, and also who best would be able to service the various different needs as people are coming in, their hurts, their pains, their testimonies, like who else would be able to relate to them the best based on us knowing each other and knowing what we've been through. So praise God. He is awesome. And just have your way, Lord. Amen.
Be prepared in season and be prepared out of season.
This is one where I'm not as sure about the timing, but it's something I've been hearing this week, so I'll just talk about it. the Lord's been showing me how, you know, we struggle so much to receive promises, and he showed me how most everyone who's been in the world for very long, who's been on the earth for very long, that is, has already done something that's, you know, 99% similar. we go out into the world, and most of us, it teaches us that we're sick, and it says, oh, yes, you have sickness in your DNA. You just don't know about it yet. It teaches us that we're sick. We start professing that we're sick, and eventually that becomes confession that we're sick. And then decades later, our bodies appear sick in our sight. And we don't really say it all the time or every day, but we hold fast to it and we do it without wavering. And eventually profession becomes sight. And he was showing me that we have enough knowledge, but we don't proceed from profession of something that we find hard to believe in the Word. We don't proceed from profession of that into sight of that because we don't have a system to pressure us into holding fast to it without wavering, like the world has a system for pressing its ideas on the people. You know, you go out into the world and you're small talking with somebody, and the other day somebody tried to peer pressure me into saying I was sick before I could buy a candy bar. You know, it's just everywhere. It's all mm-hmm. over the internet. It's all over everywhere. And we have enough knowledge. We just need a system where the things that are not in our sight, that are in the Word, a system that pressures us into confessing them on a daily basis. It's not the knowledge that we're missing. It's a system that keeps us in it.
That's basically faith and knowing who you are in Christ. One of the things the Lord's been saying this year is all about, who are you in Christ? Do you know who you are? Because this is one of the things that's coming down, that the more the relationship you have with God, the more you're going to be here and see prior to things happening. Because like I said, the things that are coming down are not going to, it's going to be shaking everything, and even anything that you thought you believed and knew, it's going to happen. So just prepare and be close to the Lord so that you can keep in tune with what's happening. Did you have something else there? No. Rebecca, did you have somebody to give that to? Okay. Anybody else have something real quick? We're just sitting here and the Lord wants to move. He wants to do some fantastic, magnificent things. The problem is, we have to get out of the way. Our thinking, our understanding, our desires, our wants have to be laid down and come into a complete submission to the Father so that he can move and do the things that he needs to do, when he needs to do it, and how he needs to do it. Because if we're thinking this or thinking that, he might hinder him from actually doing everything that needs to be done. So just know this season is not going to be easy. 2026 won't always be easy. But the fact is, once it's over, it's going to be amazing what God has done. So keep hanging in there, keep believing, keep trusting, and asking the Father on all things, because the enemy is rising up so hard right now against everybody, especially the brothers and sisters in Christ, simply because he does not want them to prosper. But also God is using it to shake them, to bring them to a place of understanding and knowledge of what's happening. So
My judgment, will reign in these days ahead. You shall see people that you have said should have been caught many years ago and taken care of. You will see my judgment come down upon them. And you will see these things. And all of a sudden, many will take and have compassion for what happened. And they will say, why did this go on? Why were they so hard on that person, even though they knew exactly what the problem was and needed to be resolved? I will not back down. I will not back off. I am moving in this land, and you're going to watch my hand move upon these people that are evil. And they shall be removed, and they shall be taken out. They will all have a chance to change their hearts and to be with me. But very few are so will ever do that because they're so far advanced, hooked up with the enemy, with the demonic spirits, with the devil himself. And they enjoy it so much, they will never change. And I say pray for every situation that's going on, for all the people, everyone in your family. Pray and break down the strongholds and command just speak my word over your families. Speak my word over your families. For many of them will be judged as well. And we want the outcome to be good. We want them to change and bring and come forth. As the evil comes and is strong in them, so shall the shaking be. If they're farther from me, I might shake them more than what you think I need to do. But the fact is coming. I will shake them. I will bring them down. You might say, well, they're hurting me. I've been hurt by them. No, the enemy inside them has hurt you. And when you look past that and see what my word says, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, and take your place as a spiritual warrior. Break those things up, bind those strong men, and start to loose those people. Watch what I will do. You have authority and power. And I'm calling you into that army. I'm calling you into rising up and being awakened by what's happening. For this is the day and the hour in which I will show up on this earth and start to change things around. If you're listening to my prophets, many of them are saying, and I'm giving them more information to put out, which I normally do not do, saith the Father, because a prophecy is for the future. The future is today. And the information, as the prophet gives forth, will give you revelation, so when you see something happen to somebody that you think is good, you'll say, oh my goodness, this is of God. Because you'll think they have it wrong. I'm sorry. They did not have it wrong, for I'm feeding and doing. And yes, the enemy's going to try to rise up, but you have the authority to push it down. And you allow my spirit to move even greater. I can go without you, but I need your prayers, because I've given you the authority and powers on this earth. And the more authority and power you give me, the easier it will be to remove this situation and go on from there. This is a question mark. I can feel it in my spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's confusion. There's situations going on all over the place, and it's going to come in on top of us, but we have to be close to you. So, Father, if there be anything that I said earlier that I was wrong, I repent. Show me, teach me. I'm open, because that's not the point. But the fact is, the Lord knows. He gave you the authority and power over this earth as a dominion over this in the kingdom of God. And if we start taking more of our dominion, it will already take a lot of these things out. But the thing's so tough right now. The things are so tough. They're so tight with the spirit. They're hard to divide. And that's why the Lord has to come in and start to do what he's going to do. He's been prophesying these things for years. I've been listening to one prophet, and they said back in 2022, they were talking about something that's happened today. 2024 is starting to come up with people they knew about. They just couldn't put the time in, because the time limit was to be put out. This is the year. It's a year of tough. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough, but it's going to end up glorious if you're walking with the Lord and you see what happens. He'll make and help you get through this whole situation. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Do you have something there, Elaine?
You just spoke about it. You're just confirming what I was going to say. All of these things, yes, they're coming, but you have to remember the power that we have in the Holy Spirit and the authority that Jesus gave us. And it this morning, we had a tormenting spirit come over Chris, and I said, I can pray, I can rebuke, but you have to do it. Mm-hmm. And so we need to speak that out. Every one of us, not depend on somebody else to do it. So Amen. We have the authority in Jesus, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we praise God.
Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're just going to close this down. We just thank you, Father. I know it's an unusual day, but we are in an unusual time. And I know that warning, if you heard anything in there that will help you change and grow, that's what it's about. There was a warning that was given, and she might not be here to touch us, but what her words are have definitely touched the situations that are going on. You might say, I don't have any problems with what she's had. I know you. I know the Lord. I know the situation's going on. But you know many other people that need the Lord. You know every situation that's going on. You know the enemy that's coming against you to destroy your life in this time, situations that's going on. That's why even in the body of Christ, as you start to call upon people to come and help you and to defeat those things that are going on, we just thank you, Father. We give you glory, Father. We just ask for your anointing to flow through each and every one of us, giving us wisdom and knowledge, increase our knowledge, increase our wisdom. Father, I just know that you were talked a lot to me about this last week about people who are hungry and thirsting after righteousness. Because you can feel them. You can work with them. They're willing. They desire. They put their everything aside and come to you and say, Father, whatever you want. And you will show them and you will teach them what you want. And you will bring them up to where they need to be. Father, I give you glory, honor, and praise in all things. Even though this has been a strange Sunday, I pray that the Spirit has moved, has spoken to people, and has brought what you want to bring out of this situation. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for that. I give you glory, honor, and praise. I ask that you bless each and every one. Keep them all safe until we meet again next time. In the name of Jesus, amen.